The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Open your Bible, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, 11 is where we're going. Hebrews 10, 11. Every day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties again and again. He offers the same sacrifices over and over. What's flawed about those Old Testament sacrifices? What was the flaw? They could never take away the sins. They could cover them up because they were doing what God told them to do. So God would not hold it against them. He would cover it up, but it didn't take it away. In other words, they continued to feel the sting of it. Their conscience wasn't cleared. The blood of Jesus Christ had not yet been shed for their sins, and the blood of goats and bulls and calves can't take away sin completely. It could only cover it up. And so he's comparing, the writer of Hebrews comparing Jesus' ministry to that Old Testament. He said to never take away sins. But when this priest, talking of Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. That's what you do when you're finished, sit down. He sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he awaits his enemies to be made his footstool. Because by one sacrifice, I want you to get a hold of this. I want you to grab this, boy. He has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Now, that's two perspectives. That is God's perspective of you. You have been made what? By God's perspective, you are made perfect. Why? Because you're clothed with Christ. I shared this on Wednesday night with the kids. I won't share that whole scripture with you, but the Bible says, clothe yourself with Christ. How many of you remember that scripture? At least vaguely. Clothe yourself with Christ. When you look at this thing that I'm hanging out here, can you see my arm? No. You can't see my arm. You can see evidence of my arm because my shirt's moving. But what do you actually see? You see my shirt. You know why? Because I'm clothed with my shirt. If God looks at you, he will see the evidence of you, for sure. But he'll see you clothed in Christ. When God looks at you, he sees Jesus. If you're born again, you're clothed with Christ, he sees Christ. So therefore, because of that clothing of Christ and the grace of God, God looks at you, he goes, I see him perfect. Hallelujah for that, because you know what you got to be to go to heaven? Perfect. I've said that many times in 20-something years of ministry, and without fail, there'd be somebody that'll hear it and go, don't sweat it. You're perfect if you're in Christ. He said, well, you have to follow me around a little bit. It ain't about you. It's about Christ. Are you in Christ? That's all I need to know. Are you in Christ? Now, I should be able to tell if you're in Christ or not. Come on. Apple trees produce apples. Jesus said, you'll know them by the fruit. Okay? Because one sacrifice he made perfect forever. Say, I've been made perfect forever. Okay? But what's the process that's still going on? I'm being made holy. Holy means set apart for God. Sanctified for God's use. I remember the church I came from, somebody got a hold of an old beer keg. And they brought that beer keg to church. They cut a hole in the top of it, and they painted crosses on the outside, and it was the benevolence bucket. And people could put change and loose money in that old beer keg. And if someone came into the church and they had a need, the policy was, if you have a need, go up there and get what you need. And if you want to give, go give what you want to give. And then if we had people come and ask for help in the church, sometimes we'd just dig into that benevolence bucket and we'd help people. And I thought, you know, at first I thought, a beer keg in a church? It's like, what better place in the world for a beer keg than a church? As long as it's not a beer keg any longer. Come on. When we look at it, I see a beer keg. But God look at it and goes, I see a blessing bucket. And see, you might used to have been a beer keg, but now you're a blessing bucket. Amen? Because you've been made perfect. But never fear, you're not as good as you're going to get. I'm glad of that. Maybe you're not, but I am. I'm glad that God's not done with me, and I'm actually glad God's not done with you too. But I'm really glad he's not done with me. Because I'm not always satisfied in my performance level. Sometimes I disappoint myself. I've told people this, you can't disappoint God. Because disappointment by very definition means you expected something different than what happened. And I guarantee you God knows how you're going to respond. I would say this, you can certainly hurt God by your actions. You can certainly grieve the Holy Spirit by your actions. But God's never been disappointed in you. God never saw you as a failure. God never saw you as less than anything that you are, and you are his child by birthright. He knit you together in the womb of your mother and sent his son Jesus to die so that you could be redeemed. You belong to no one else but God, and that's how God's always looked at you. Even on your worst day, God's always looked at you. You were still his. Even when you didn't want nothing to do with him, you were still his. As far as he was concerned, his love never stopped. It never waned. It never faded. It stayed constant. Until you responded to it, you didn't even know it. You might have been convinced at some point in your life God hated you. God never hated you. You might be convinced or been convinced that God was very disappointed in you and you probably, if you, he wrote you off, but that's not true. God is love. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, you're preaching to church to save people. Why you got to talk like that? Saved people don't need to hear that. I beg to differ. I think saved people need to hear that just about as much as anybody does. You know, most people's marriages are pretty good the day they get married. Honeymoon night, they don't tend to have bad problems, not usually, I would think. But that maintenance, man, maintenance. If you've been married very long, you know what I'm talking about. Maintenance. Even in friendships, maintenance, you know. So in our Christian life, we got to have maintenance. And maintenance is seeing yourself, I believe, going back to the cross, staying near to the cross, seeing yourself saved, seeing yourself good, like God sees you. Amen. Now, in that scripture in Hebrews, we learn that Jesus gave himself for us. Amen. We have been made perfect. We're being made holy. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul writing, Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul said, not that I've already obtained all this, talking about all the stuff of wanting to know Christ and his power, his resurrection, all that. Not that I've attained all this or that I've already been made perfect. Now, he's talking about in the natural sense, right? He said, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but this one thing I do. There's one thing, Paul said, I do consider myself to have taken hold of. And there's this one thing that I do or that I practice. Paul said, I've not yet apprehended everything which Christ apprehended me for. I haven't taken hold of everything which Christ taken hold of me for. But this one thing I do. It's one thing I do take hold of. It's one thing I have accomplished, and it's one thing I practice. He said this. This is what I practice. I put behind me, for forgetting what's behind me, I strain toward what's ahead. Some translations say I press on. Like a track runner running, and you ever see track runners running the tape? You know, they're going to be the first to cross the line, and right at the end they'll just lunge for it. That's what Paul was writing. When it says press on, that's what that literally means, is to lunge forward. And sometimes in our Christian walk, we're going to be maintaining the pace. We're going to have those seasons where we're just maintaining the pace. But then there is that when you feel like as you're at your weakest, that's when you need to lean into it and press forward and press on. And how do you do that? You do that by forgetting what's behind. You don't sit there running a race thinking about how far you've come and, you know, oh my gosh, how far I've come. I seen online that somebody set a new record for a marathon, which is 26 and a half miles. They finished a marathon in 1 hour, 59 minutes, and some seconds. In less than 2 hours, they finished a marathon. That's like you got to run about 13 miles an hour. I'm not sure I can run 13 miles an hour with a bear chasing me, but I know I can't run 13 miles an hour without on a constant pace. But I can assure you during that marathon, whoever did that, and you look it up online, latest marathon record, you'll find it. But I guarantee you one thing, they did not finish that quickly and finish that well by thinking about all the steps they had taken behind them. They were only focused on where they're going. You can't ever get where you're going if you're constantly looking in your rearview mirror. You know the beautiful thing about your past? It's past. There's a saying, it's not from the Bible, but it's a great philosophy. You know what? This too shall pass. You know, there's not a scripture in the Bible that says this too shall pass. But it's pretty, it's close. It says to everything there is a season. That's Ecclesiastes. And so if there's something going on in your life and it's difficult right now, you know what? Just press on. Don't linger on the past. Don't think about all that, but press on and just let the past go. Let it go, because hanging on to that is not going to help you win. And you're called to win. Amen. I want to look one more place at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, first of all. Forget the former things. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Sharon, an early worship couple, I think it was week before last, shared with us about what it means from a biblical word study viewpoint about becoming weary. The Bible says don't grow weary in well-doing, because in due season you'll reap if you don't give up, if you faint not. That goes really well with what the Lord dropped in my spirit back a month ago, whatever. There's five seasons, you remember them? Winter, spring, summer, fall, and dew. D-U-E, dew season. And if you haven't noticed, it's dew season. It's also fall, but it's dew season. Sharon explained that she did a word study by the leading of the Holy Spirit on that word weary, and it means reluctant. It can mean reluctance due to becoming tired, due to past experiences of like, you know, we tried this, it didn't work, I did this, it didn't work, and you can become weary in it. You can want to give up and quit. Well, God's got an antidote for that. He says, just forget the things of the past. Don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on it. Don't sit there and play that video over and over in your mind of something that's in your past. It could even be something wonderful in your past. See, because how many of you ever heard somebody that all they can think about, all they can talk about is the glory day or whatever it was? And they're so living in the past that they're trying to get nourishment from a steak they ate last week. You know, we're to live in the now. With our focus on the future. Live in the now with your focus on the future. God said, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Why not? Why don't I want to dwell on the past? Simple. God said, I'm doing a new thing. You know, God can be doing a new thing in you, on you, all around you. But if you're so stuck dwelling on the past, you won't perceive it. You won't know it. In order to see the new thing that God's doing or wants to do in your life, you've got to quit looking on the thing that is already done, good or bad. Just let it go. It's past. We're in the now. We're going to the future. Amen? So, I'm doing a new thing, God says. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? In other words, God goes, man, you got to look. You got to look with your spirit, not with your eyes. You got to look in the Word. And you'll perceive it before you see it. He said, I'm doing it. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert. I'm making streams in the wasteland. There are probably people that will hear me, and maybe you feel that way. In some areas of your life, it's been feeling like you've been in a desert. But God said, I make a way in the desert. I make streams there. I'm going to do a new thing right where you are. God, you got to move me. No, you don't. No, you don't. He'll change you, and the change in you brings about change in it. See, most of the time, my experience has been, and biblically speaking, I think I can prove it to you too, that when people are crying out so much for the situation to change, that before the situation changed, the person in the situation changes. Then the situation changes. And I have seen that same cycle repeated over and over in my Christian life for 25 years now. That, you know, like you think you got to have it today. You don't got to have it today, but when you get in a place where you're good with whatever God wants to do, God liable to give it to you today. But until you get the ants out of your pants, it's hard. It's hard for God to get done what he wants to do. So we don't want to get too antsy for the future, and we certainly don't want to be looking back at the past. Amen.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. and would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
Now God's going to do a new thing. He's doing a new thing in your life. Do you receive it? Amen. I receive it. So I want you to tell me what you remember about a guy named Simon Peter. You know, the apostle Simon Peter. Some of the things that we know about Peter are good, and some of the things we know about Peter are not good. Like, the biggest mess up that I could see in Peter's life, where on the night of Jesus' betrayal, Peter denied Jesus. He denied that he even knew him. And on that third denial, it actually says that Peter called down curses on himself. And it means that he would have said something like, may my family be ever wiped from the face of the earth. May birds eat my carcass if I am a friend or if I know that man. That's how they would speak curses. So Peter, I got here in Matthew 14, Peter walked on the water, but nobody mentioned this. He sunk. I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm just going to be the negative guy. Yeah, Peter, he walked on water, but he sank. Huh? And whoever said that's like, well, how many times you walked on water? Anyway, Peter got rebuked for overprotecting Jesus. Jesus' words were, "Get behind me, Satan." Peter got corrected for cutting the ear off the servant. He denied Jesus three times. These are the things I wrote down. He was restored by Jesus. That's wonderful. Jesus, these are some good, some bad. Peter spoke up on the day of Pentecost, didn't he? On the day of Pentecost, when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, just days earlier, he denied that he even knew Jesus in front of just a few people. But on Pentecost, there were thousands of people gathered, and Peter stood up boldly and proclaimed Jesus to them, even to the point and said, God made this Christ, who you crucified, Lord, and has raised him from the dead. And listen, 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus that day. Stop for a minute. Think about what we're talking about letting go of the past. Just literally days earlier, Peter had totally denied Jesus. Peter had to let go of his denial, or he would have never stood up on the day of Pentecost. Peter had a role to play. He had a position to be in, and Peter didn't let his failures from a few days earlier stop him from standing up, and the result was 3,000 people got saved. That's important. Pentecost is the birthplace of the church. It's important. Don't you know that demon spirit of condemnation would have loved to just keep his old claws hooked up in Peter and go, you don't dare stand up. Look at your pathetic self. You denied Jesus. You remember when Jesus said, get behind me, Satan? You remember when you sank in the water? You remember when you got rebuked for cutting the guy's ear off? You know, now I guarantee you the devil will bring up every negative thing he could bring up. Every perceived failure. Whether it was a failure or not, the devil will make it a failure. He'll blame it all on you. But not, he can't do it. He can't do it. If you look at yourself and go, you know what? I've been made perfect. And I'm being made holy. I'm not perfect in the natural realm. I admit it. I admit that my actions are not always what they should be. I admit that. But I'm a work in progress. And I embrace the process. I'm not who I used to be. I may not be who I'm going to be, but I'm not who I used to be. I embrace the process. I'm going to do what God said to do. I'm going to forget the former things. I'm not going to dwell on the past. I'm going to be like the Apostle Paul and say, this one thing I can do. I can do one thing. I can forget what is behind me, and I can press forward to the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Peter put the past in the past And by doing so, he made that prophecy of Jesus about him being a rock come to pass. He became literally the rock of the church, the pillar of the church. And he didn't do it by looking at his past. He didn't do it by letting his past define him. He didn't do it by living in the glory days. Well, oh, I remember when Jesus was here. He did it by living in the now with his eyes on the future. And that's how we're going to win too. We always win when we keep our eyes on Jesus. Peter would have never sank if he kept his eyes on Jesus. Amen. So Peter didn't let the past hinder him. Let me give you just a couple of illustrations from people that are maybe not nearly as important as the Apostle Peter, but they might be more famous. Let me give you a couple. One of them is a guy named Abraham Lincoln. You ever heard of him? Hope you have. Abraham Lincoln, he was born in Springfield. Here's what it says about him. Here's what they said about him in his hometown. He was too impractical and too temperamental to be a success as a lawyer. He turned to politics. He was defeated in his first try for the legislature, defeated again in his first attempt to be nominated for Congress, defeated again in his application to be the commissioner of the General Land Office. He's defeated in a senatorial election of 1854, defeated in his efforts for the vice presidency in 1856. He had a lot of defeat in his life, didn't he? He was defeated in that, and at that time, he wrote to a friend of his and said, quote, "I'm about the most miserable man living. If what I felt were to be equally distributed to the whole human family, there would not be a cheerful face on the face of the earth." That's how he got so discouraged that that's how he felt. But let me ask you something. Did he ever run for political office again? I think so, because we wouldn't even know who he was if he didn't. President Abraham Lincoln's known as one of the greatest presidents of the United States, but he didn't become the president the first time he tried. He couldn't get elected. Sound to me like he couldn't get elected to be dog catcher for a while. But see, God was working a process in that man's life. And he was bringing him to a place and a point and a time where the man was ready for the situation and the situation was ready for the man. And he went down in history as being one of the greatest presidents of the United States. I guarantee you that he'll never be forgotten in the United States. But he would have been if he would have let his past dictate his future. I'll give you just one more guy. You've heard of this guy too. Thomas Edison. Who's ever heard of him? Thomas Edison, famous. He invented a lot of things. But the one thing he had to try over and over and over and over and over and over and over again was the light bulb. Here's what it says about him. Thomas Edison's teachers, when he was young, here's what they said about him, and God forgive them. They said, he's too stupid to learn anything. They didn't realize he was genius, and because he's a genius, he couldn't relate to their low intellect. So they just called him stupid. There's a Bible teacher named Rick Renner, who is an absolute gift to the body of Christ. He's a very gifted man in studying languages. His teachers, when he was young, also called him stupid. Don't call anybody stupid, okay? But if someone's called you stupid, just realize this. The only thing stupid about that are their stupid words. You just flush it and move on. Amen. So they called him stupid. And it said he was fired from his first two jobs for being unproductive. As an inventor, Edison made 1,000 unsuccessful attempts at inventing the light bulb. When asked about it, a reporter said, "How did it feel to fail 1,000 times?" Edison replied, "I didn't fail 1,000 times. The process of inventing the light bulb was a 1,000-step process." How many times have you failed at being a Christian? Answer? None. Becoming Christ-like is a process. The Bible says, a righteous man may fall 7 times. 7 times he will arise. What kind of man? A righteous man. What's that mean? A man with a right relationship with God. Well, I thought if he's right with God, he wouldn't fall down. Well, you thought wrong. Just because you're right with God doesn't mean you're not going to trip over your own 2 feet sometimes. But put the past in the past and get up and dust off. If I was walking in the mall, I've used this before, I use it again. But if I was walking in the mall and I tripped over my own feet and fell down, You can bet. I'm not going to lay there going, I can't believe I did that. I'm so embarrassed. I'm so humiliated. I'm such a failure at walking. I was trying to chew gum and walk at the same time, and it just don't work for me. And everybody walking by going, what's wrong with him? Oh, he fell down. Why don't he get up? Oh, he's just relishing it. You know? I guarantee you it'd be like if I'm walking the mall trip. I did that on purpose. It's good. There's a little something there on the floor, just getting it with my knee. I ain't going to lay there and wallow in that thing and then be ridiculed for it. I'm going to jump up as fast as I can. Listen, if you think you fell flat on your face, here's good advice. Get up. Wash your face. Don't tell people about it unless they need to know, unless you want to share it as a testimony about how you overcame it. Right? But don't let it become your identity. Oh, glory to God. I think I ought to quit with that note. I ought to just quit right there while I'm sort of ahead. But just think about this. We will look at one last thing, and it was from Peter himself. It's 2 Peter 3:18. And I have a statement to make to you that I guarantee you the Holy Spirit gave me. And you might want to get a recording of this message so you can write this stuff down. You might want to write it down. It's that good. That came from God. Amen. Here's what Peter said. This is the very last recorded passage of Scripture in the earthly life of the Apostle Peter. And here's what he said. He said, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory forever. Keep growing. That would be what Peter would say to you if you denied Christ today. He'd say, listen, just keep growing. You know what, if you sank today because you took your eyes off the prize, he'd just say, well, just keep growing. Here's what I want to say to you, the Holy Spirit, give me this. Peter didn't let his missteps cause him to quit walking. He just kept growing. Peter didn't let it happen. His, quote, failure to walk on the water has been an example for millions of people to not take your eyes off of Jesus. I wouldn't call that a failure. I call that a raving success. Amen? His, quote, failure when he denied Jesus three times is a reminder to us that God's grace is sufficient to cover anything. I call that a huge success. His, quote, failure in the garden by trying to protect Jesus and cutting that guy's ear off is a constant reminder that you and I never need to take matters into our own hands. God's got it. I call that a huge success, not a failure. Amen? And so listen, here's my final statement. Here's what I want you to get a hold of. Maybe failures are not really failures at all. With that scripture in mind, maybe the only thing that failures, what your perceived failures are, is growing pains. So listen to me. Is there any reason for you to beat yourself up about anything that's in your past? We have a motto in this church. Say this out loud with me if you would. My future is not determined by my past, but by how I respond to God today. Now you think about that. Well, I had a bad day yesterday. Well, praise God, yesterday's gone. I've been having a bad day today. Well, praise God, a while ago is gone. You're in the now. And you get to choose from this point forward how it goes. I do? Yep. By your attitude. Amen. Hallelujah. I will not let my future be determined by my past. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.